And we are just going to spend the time looking at how do we do what we've said. This is the day that the Lord has made. You've forgotten it already. It's going to be a long morning, I can tell. This is the day that the Lord has made. Now, this is taken from Psalm 118, and if you've got your Bibles, it'd be helpful to have Psalm 118 before you. And as we will see, this is no doubt the psalm that Jesus had in mind when he entered Jerusalem. This reminds us of what the people were expecting. We won't read it all, but we'll read from verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, Hosanna, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love.
So this is a psalm which is predicting and showing that first Palm Sunday. And so I really wanted to just really focus on this verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you off. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Because I really want us to think that as we think about Palm Sunday, I really believe there's a clue for us today how we can find joy and gladness. Now that's a struggle for some of us. Let's be honest. When I say that, you just shrug your shoulders a bit, don't you? You go, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's happening. I can't be joyful. And the word joy is literally dancing. It's really dancing in the aisles. And there weren't many of you doing that, though. Talitha gets my prize every day. But there was that, it's really that dancing and that overflowing of joy. It's the joy that comes when your football team wins the premiership and you're dancing and hugging your mates who you've never hugged before. It's that joy that comes when you are really glad and you can't keep it in. But how do we know that? How can we find that in our lives? And I believe Palm Sunday, and I believe this Psalm 118 doesn't just tell us that we need to do it, but tell us how to do it. And the first thing I need to say is, this is the day the Lord has made. And the problem with a lot of us is some of us, we tend to look back to the good old days. We tend to live in the past and to think how things used to be. And we tend to think we can't rejoice and be glad in today because yesterday was better. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says it's not wise to look back and think why are the old days good. It's not part of what God, there's no point looking back and saying wasn't it better then. It's about saying this is the day God has made today for me. Some of us look back with regret. We look back and allow the past to keep us from moving forward. Lamentations 3 talks about when I think of the past, when I think of the bitterness and the gall, I am downcast within me. But what does he say? This I recall to mind. His mercies are new every morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Some of us live in the past, either thinking that was better or wish I could go back, or thinking, oh no, I can't enjoy today because of what's happened to me in the past. But today is a day that God has made for you and given you. I brought this with me because one of the greatest things is gifts, isn't it? I got given this the other week, didn't I? This Pastor Simon, a lovely picture. Don't you just love when children make you things and give them to you. I've told you about one of the greatest things that made me in tears was when my oldest son made me, from his work, a lightsaber. They just made it for me. And when they make you something, it just fills you with joy. Because you know that you're loved and wanted and accepted, and you enjoy it, whatever the quality of it, not so matter. It's knowing that you are loved. This is the day the Lord has made. He's made it for you because he loves you. Some of us look back and we don't enjoy because of the past. Some of us can't rejoice in today because we're looking for something tomorrow. We say, oh, I can rejoice when I'm married. I can rejoice when I have kids. I can rejoice when I've got the ideal work situation. I can rejoice when the kids have left home. I can rejoice when I'm retired. I can rejoice. And we keep putting off that joy. And we hope and we live for tomorrow. But do you know what Jesus says? Do not worry about tomorrow. Today has its own trouble. What Jesus is saying, and as a 50, however old man I am, it's true. That we have troubles today, but you're also going to get troubles tomorrow. There is never a time where there won't be some sort of troubles. It'll be different troubles, different worries, different concerns. Just think of those you've had children. Your worries when they were toddlers is different to when they're at school, to when they're teenagers. And for me, my biggest troubles have been when they've been adults. You just don't know. So you can't live in the future, because there will be troubles tomorrow as well as today. So we've got to live today. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's given this to you. God's given this day to you. And it's a day to rejoice. So how can we live in the present? How can we live in today and rejoice and be glad in it? How can we do it? Well, I think this psalm tells us, and this is what the people on Palm Sunday discovered, that we can rejoice in it because this is the day, as we've said, of God's love. How does the psalm begin? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say his love endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made, and it shows us that he's given it to you because he loves you and he's good. He's good. And today is a day he's taken and said, this is for you. I've made it for you. So rejoice and be glad in it. Don't let yesterday define and stop you rejoicing. And don't get tomorrow worries stop you rejoicing. Today is his gift. Don't miss out on the gift. Don't miss out as the day to know and experience God's love. Don't miss out on the day to enjoy the creation and the love and the gift given to you. It is the day of God's love. It is a good thing because God is good. He's not going to give you a bad gift. And today is the day. Rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of the Lord's love, but it's also the day of the Lord's help, because this does not mean there is no troubles in our lives. What does the psalmist say? Verse 5, the next thing he tells us, in my anguish, I cried to the Lord. There is a point that this is a situation. This is, we think of David. We don't quite know when it happened, but he was in nations we read were against him. He was in the midst of conflict and difficulties. And this was the day of God's help. He said, verse 13, I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. And so therefore we can know that not only is this the day of God's love, he's given this day for us, it is the day of God's help, that he's come to help us. And this is the word Hosanna, save us. This is what we say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the one who comes to save us and to help us. And that's why we can rejoice and be glad, because we are not alone, because God has come to our rescue. God comes to our aid. God comes to help us. You're not alone. The troubles of today you do not need to deal with on your own. The Lord is your help. You can cry Hosanna on Palm Sunday, but you can cry Hosanna on every day of the year. Help me. Save me. You may feel you've been pushed back. You may feel you've been pushed over. But God made this day for you. And he didn't make it for you to go through it on your own. He came to help you and save you and walk with you through it. So we can rejoice and be glad, because there's nothing today that you and God cannot handle together. This is the day the Lord has made. He is the day of the Lord's help. But we can rejoice and be glad, not only because it's the day of the Lord's love, not only is the day of the Lord's help, but ultimately this psalm tells us it's the day of the Lord's Son, or the Lord's salvation. Because this psalm ultimately is about Jesus. What does it say? Blessed is he, verse 26, who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. Verse 22, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because this psalm points to that first Palm Sunday where Jesus became the cornerstone, where Jesus became the capstone. He became the one from which people could build their lives from. He is the one that was going to come and bring God's help and salvation. He is the one who is going to restore God's light upon us. He was the one who was going to restore God's joy. He was the one who was going to usher it in and bring it in. And that's why the crowd came and they used this psalm, because they recognized Jesus had come from God, that Jesus was God, and he was going to come and save and rescue them and deliver them and be their joy and be their hope. And they were going to celebrate. And so they took the palms off, they took their cloaks off, they danced and they sang, and they were full of joy and gladness, because it is God's salvation ultimately that can alone bring joy and gladness to your heart. But what happened after Palm Sunday? Did they continue in their joy and gladness? Did the crowd celebrate? Did they continue to say, God has come, he's blessed, he's the one who's come to save us and rescue us, we worship him, he's our king? No, within days they were shouting, crucify him. And they lost all their joy and all their gladness. Why? Because they did not understand where joy and gladness comes from. They did not understand what true salvation is. They did not understand. They thought for them it meant that God would rescue them from the Romans, that God would restore the temple, the Romans would be kicked out, and they would be a beautiful city that all the nations would come to and respect further, and they would be raised up. That's what they thought. But they got it all wrong. And therefore their joy and gladness disappeared. And it came to jeering and doubt and rejection. Do you want I experience? People often come to church. They come to faith. They even become Christians. And they're so excited. And they're so full of joy and gladness. Sadly, it wanes. It disappears. And sometimes people end up doubting and even rejecting the faith they've come to. They become like the crowd who came with joy and celebration and gladness. But the problem was, it did not turn out how they thought it would. They thought all their problems would disappear. They thought the joy and gladness would come as their life would change and their situation would change and their relationships would change and everything would be perfect. But that's not where joy and gladness comes from. Joy and gladness comes from Jesus, from Him being your King. And it doesn't mean all your troubles disappear or go away. It doesn't mean every prayer that you pray that you think is for your best will happen. But it does mean that Jesus can be your King. He is the one who's made this day. He is the one who's King over this day for you. He is the one who's planned it and made it for you. He is the one who will help you through it and will help you get through it and give you the strength and will save you in it. And He is the one who ultimately can make your heart right. He is the one who can fill your heart with peace and joy because you are filled by the Holy Spirit in your heart and you are connected with your Heavenly Father. You are home. You are as you were meant to be. You are restored, and your joy comes from knowing that God is your Father. He is for you. He loves you. He is working all things for your purpose. And the joy comes to know that whatever trouble comes, whatever tears come in the day, in the morning when Jesus comes again, there is going to be joy and gladness like no other. That is our salvation. That is what we believe. We do not believe when we come and find our faith in Jesus that life suddenly is easy, that my past no longer do I struggle with. The issues I've come with don't suddenly disappear. But I do know that God has given me this day, that He loves me, and that He's going to help me in it, and He's going to lead me through to tomorrow, where tomorrow is when the rule of Jesus will come across this whole world. That is what we believe. That is our salvation. And that's why we can rejoice and be glad in it. Even when the enemies are against us, even when things are against us, even when my ill health, even when my relationships, even when work is going wrong, even when I don't know where to turn, even when my children are really causing me worries and stress, even when I don't know how I'm going to face tomorrow, it's okay. You don't need to know how to face tomorrow, because this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in today because He loves you. He will help you today, and tomorrow He will help you. But don't worry about tomorrow, but rejoice in today that He is your Savior, He is your friend. We may not get tomorrow. Jesus may come again and may restore all things, and we may enter His kingdom forever. So let us know today and rejoice and be glad in it. And that's how we can find joy and peace. But the biggest clue, and you may hear me wrong, and that's all right, because I'm going to say it anyway. The biggest way to find joy and gladness is to do what? What is this psalm about? What is this a psalm a call to? This psalm is a call to community. This psalm is a psalm gathering people together. Let us join the festive throng. Let us come together. Let us serve together. Let us worship together. This is not about an individual rejoicing and being glad. This is about a community. This is about the people of God rejoicing in what He's done and in who He is. And therefore, it is a call to be a worshiping community. And at the heart of gladness and joy is to come together as that worshiping community, to come and join with God's people and celebrate that this is the day of God's love, this is the day of God's help, and this is the day of God's salvation. And we together are going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's a call to come and worship together, to bring your bows, to bring your palm branches, to bring all that you have and worship Jesus. And that's why one of the most important things to find joy and gladness is to commit to a worshipping community, is to come week by week, Sunday by Sunday, and join with a worshipping community, to worship God together. When you don't feel like it, when the troubles seem overwhelming, still come. When you're grieving, still come. When you're happy, definitely come. But it's about joining together. Now, I'd love to do some research, but what I recognise and what I see is the people who keep going in their faith, the people who mature, the people who find joy and gladness in their faith have one common denominator. They commit to Sunday worship. Simple. You may say I'm legalistic. I don't think so. This is a key. This is the solution to find. This is the medicine for joy and gladness. It's committing to join with people to worship Jesus. Now, I know it is difficult. I know that. I know with kids' sport. I know with family commitments. I know with work commitments. I know with holidays. I know with all sorts of things in your calendar. But what I know is that if you're not committed to it, these things build up and up and up, and you come less and less and less, and you lose your joy and your gladness. And when you haven't got your joy and your gladness, you don't want to come to find joy and gladness. And so you drift further and further away. This isn't legalism. This is practicalism. This is what God's word tells us. That do not give up meeting together. Because when we come together, we encourage one another. And so commit. Now, I know it's not easy, and I won't look at the person I had a conversation with this week. I know it's not easy to work it out, but let's be accountable to one another. I know some people in family situations and the like can't make every Sunday. I get that. I know that. I've had kids. I've worked through these issues, and it's not just because it's my job, but we have to work it through. But actually, if I'm fully committed for myself and my family to find joy and gladness each day, I need to join with the festival throng. I need to worship. I need to be part of a worshipping community. And I know if we were starting church again, I know if I was a missionary to the UK, I would not do church on a Sunday morning. I'll tell you that. Not the best time. But it's the time we've got. And it's not going to change in the near future. I think it might change at some point. But at the moment, this is what it is. And it is difficult. And it is a struggle. But actually, if I want to find gladness and joy each day, then I need to commit to a worshipping community. I also need to commit to a working community. Because ultimately, being church, they led to the house, the temple of God, and Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. He had to clear the temple, because ultimately we are being built together to be a working community. The Bible says that we are being built together to be a place where God lives by the Holy Spirit. So therefore we need to work together. We are not a building, but we have a building, but we are a people, and we are being built together. And guess who is the chief cornerstone? Sorry, I've got my hump. Got on my edge piece of my puzzle. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the one we start building around. He is the one who makes sure we get straight edges in line first. He is the one who enables us to slot in. But we need to work together to be that kind of people. And we are family. We are a building. And therefore you need to take your place and your role. You need to use your gift, your ability. It's not about just sitting back and being a worshipping community and coming Sunday by Sunday, but saying, as we put this together, we are actually being molded and shaped, and who I am and what I'm called to be is to build this community over and above everything else. Because this is the place where God will come by his Holy Spirit. And if he comes by his Holy Spirit, that's the place where lives will be transformed, people will be healed. When Jesus went into the temple, we read that he healed people at the temple. As he cleaned it out, it became a place of healing and of restoration. And that's what we want this place to be, but we need to work together. You need to use your gifts and skills and time and resources. We need to think how we can resource it and give our money to the Lord for it. We need to see how we can give our time. We can see if we can make coffee for it. We need to say if we can clean the floor for it, put the chairs out for it. We need to do all these things. Like any family, there are boring jobs and there are exciting jobs. Like any family, we have to remind people to put the rubbish out because they don't like doing it and forget. Whatever it is, but we come together because we want to function together and use our gifts and our skills together. You know me by now. There's lots of things I can't do and there's lots of things I'm rubbish at. But there's lots of things you're good at that I'm not. And as we put ourselves together, as we work together, we become a working community. And then finally, when we're a working community, we become a witnessing community. Because the purpose of it all is to be a place, a house of prayer, for all nations, for all people. People really worry about evangelism and telling people about Jesus. Can I tell you, it's not difficult. Whatever technique or course you go on, can we stick to what the Bible says? The Bible says, build community, love one another, worship me, and they'll come. Not difficult. Find joy and gladness in being here together. People will come. And people will want to find out joy and gladness because they too want to find what you and I need. They too need to find this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it because people are not happy. People do not find joy and gladness. And if we can find that together as a worshipping community, as a working community, and as a witnessing community, we will grow. And my 500-piece puzzle piece puzzle will be too small because it will just draw more and more. Will you commit at this AGM? Will you commit your resources and your time? Will you commit to turn up? Will you commit? Because otherwise we won't ever complete a puzzle. And the world will look at us and go, look at that incomplete puzzle. That's not very attractive. But as it's being built together, they can see where they fit and they may join us. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. But don't forget, don't lose sight that it doesn't mean things become easy. There is a cross that is coming. Good Friday comes after Palm Sunday. Easter Day is coming as well. But let's not misunderstand how we find joy and gladness. Because joy and gladness is available today for you. As we come together and worship. As we do that, God's Spirit will be here. And he will heal and he will save. And he will do what he does. But we need to come together. The worship team are going to come up and we're going to do that. We're going to be a worshiping community because that's what we are called to be. That's our main purpose. That is who we are. That is what God wants us to be, to declare his praises. And as we worship, we're going to also think about being a working community. And I seriously want you to think about your post-it notes. And as you worship, I'm going to pray that God will speak to you and think about what you can offer or what you can do and whether that's thinking about giving financially, or whether that's giving time, or whether that's going on the coffee route, or you absolutely love doing tapestry. We can use that and join me because I love it. Oh no, we can do what we need. We can use our gifts and our skills to build this church, this people together. And we want to use you. In America, they say, some pastor once said, church is the greatest spectator sport of them all. We're not meant to be a spectator sport. We are community, worshipping together, working together, and witnessing together. So let's join together. Let's play our part. Let's not exhaust the few. Let's work together and find joy and gladness. This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice.